Now we are in John 3 this morning as we continue our study of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. So if you would turn to John 3 as we continue this conversation. Now in this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, we hear from Christ words which declare that the reality within which Nicodemus operates versus true reality are worlds apart. You know, we're not of this world. We're just passing through. We don't want to get entangled with this world. This world of make-believe is worlds apart from the reality of God. Now, from these words, the Apostle Paul was able to write in Romans 14:17, which says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." You think about this world on how this world operates. Everything's meat and drink. You get your iPad out, you get your iPhone out, you get your computer out, you get your television out. What's it all about? It's all about meat and drink. Buy this, eat this, wear this. It's all about meat and drink. So it was the same way in those days when Paul said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So the world's reality, as we said, is meat and drink. The world takes all thought about meat and drink, whereby Christ said, "Take no thought." Now, that's diametrically opposed, is it not? There's a difference in the world we live in. Because we're born again into this new world, away from this world that passes away. Christ says, "Take no thought about meat or drink or what ye shall wear." So the reality of this world is fundamentally opposite, opposed. It's opposed to what God has created this world for. And what will come as we pass from this world into His presence. Now, do we live that way? Do we live with that hope? So Jesus, who is light, brings light to Nicodemus, for without the light of Christ, Nicodemus would remain in darkness. You know, we are not given in our natural state to find light. We have nothing within us to know light. What happens is that light finds us. You know, you're looking for something at night, something that you drop, maybe outside. What do? You go get light. Now, does that which you drop call out, "I'm here"? No, it just stays there, lost. You go get light, you shine the light. Light found that which was lost. And that's what's taken place in our lives. At one time, you were lost, and if you're saved now, light found you. Now, Jesus will later teach this in John 6:44. No man, I love the absolutes of Scripture. You know, the theologians, the liberal theologians, hate the absolutes of Scripture. The absolutes don't give them a job. You know, if you take away the absolutes, I've got all kinds of jobs and all kinds of things to theorize about and propose. What do you think about this? And without the absolutes, I could have a little discussion group here and get everybody's opinion. And we could vote. "Ye must be born again." Are you really believe? How many believe that? Well, I think there's a little wiggle room. You know? But he said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So the Father looks around at all the lost on the earth, and he sends his holy flashlight to find the lost. They can't do anything about it. And in this drawing, Jesus gives new vision. And he gives a vision allowing you to see the kingdom of God, allowing you to see a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of peace and joy. Without this light, you can't see. Now, the five words of Jesus, "Ye must be born again," are words that the human mind or human nature must reject because they conflict with notions that people strongly cling to. My, they're opposed. What do you mean I must be born again? I'm happy with my birth. I'm me. I want to be me. I want to just let me express myself. That's what the world says. Express yourself. Be yourself. God says, that doesn't satisfy me. It doesn't satisfy me. You must be born again. Now, self-righteousness or self-worth or self-value, so prominent in the seeking of meat and drink, is destroyed by this doctrine, for this doctrine pronounces the death sentence on the sinful nature of man. You must be born again. That's the death sentence for the first birth's nature. Now, Nicodemus was of this sort, for he depended upon his connection to God's chosen people and his standing among the Jews as a ruler of the Jews to gain him entrance into the presence of God. You know, people do that all the time. They depend upon their connection. Well, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Methodist. Oh, I'm a Catholic. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Does it say in here, ye must be Methodist? Ye must be Catholic? No. What does it say? Ye must be born again. That's the connection that you have to have. You've got to have a connection with God through His Spirit. Now, Nicodemus depended upon the pride of life, the pride of this life. He was part of the in crowd, and now Jesus says that it is impossible for him to understand or know the kingdom of God. Can you imagine Nicodemus receiving these words? Unless you're born again, you can't see. What do you mean I can't see? I'm Nicodemus. I'm a ruler of the Jews. I wear these nice robes that declare my connection. But the problem is that we all, including Nicodemus, have a sin nature, and God will not allow anyone who has not been given a new nature to see the kingdom of God. Boy, that's pretty absolute, isn't it? Well, God, don't you think that's kind of tough? Well, I make the way. I make the way for you. Why is that tough? Now, none of us in our natural state are fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot access the realm of God in your sin nature. It is like trying to communicate on the wrong radio frequency. The natural state puts you on the wrong frequency. You can't see. You can't access the realm of God. It is like trying to speak to a nation of deaf people, or operate in China while speaking Spanish or English, going around speaking Spanish. You'll have a bunch of dumb expressions on the faces of all the Chinese folks. But a new nature comes with the new birth. Only with the new birth comes life. The kind of life that opens your spiritual eyes to the things of God, spiritual things, things which are enjoyed by those regenerated here upon the earth. God demands a change, and that change is something that he does in a yielded life. Now, Paul amplifies this teaching in 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 14. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Wow, it sounds like it's all of God. Well, I want to enter into this a little bit. Can I contribute? No. It's all of God. But God has revealed them unto us. You know, early on in my Christian experience, I learned that the only way we know things about God is of God to reveal them to us. We don't have it in us. Well, we can explore and we can investigate. We can look at all the things that God has produced. But unless God reveals himself to us, we can't know God. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He goes into the library of God, searches all the things, and he reveals them to us. Look at this wonderful book upon which we base our whole lives. I'm basing my eternity upon this book. I've invested everything that I have in this book. Boy, you know, I'm trusting in God. Everything that I have, that's pretty. Is that pretty risky? The other religions will say, yeah, that's pretty risky. But God has revealed, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He's on a different frequency. The Spirit has no connection with that frequency, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, a person of the old nature could listen to what I just talked, and he said, arrest that man, he's a fool. Take him to the loony bin. I don't know if they still say loony bin. That's probably not politically correct. In our town, it used to be called Dunning. I think I mentioned that once before, but we would go past that Dunning and we would look in there. We would see the inmates. They would be behind this big, to a child, it was a big, tall iron fence. Look it into the loony bin, we'd say. Children do that. I don't do that anymore. That was just the child in me. But the things of this book are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God speaks to your spirit. What spirit? Your born-again spirit. He doesn't speak to the old spirit. He doesn't speak to the old man. He speaks to the new man. Now he has an avenue. He's changed the frequency. Now you can hear. Now you can see. And also in Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Holiness is accessed only through the new birth. The natural man does not know this. This was verified by Nicodemus. In this place was a natural man. Nicodemus at this time was not a saved man. He was not born again. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have said that. Because he said, ye must be born again. So Nicodemus was in his natural state. And therefore he brings this question out. In verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? This is beyond thinking. What are you talking about? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So this question verifies that this ruler of the Jews was blind to spiritual discernment, and that's not surprising. What does the Bible say? They're blind without spiritual discernment. You're blind. And therefore unable to know the things of God. Again, we see a ruler of the Jews thinking in physical terms, which is the way of life for the natural man. The natural man thinks in physical terms. Meat and drink. That's how we think in the natural way. Jesus said, take no thought for that. You know, it's wonderful about the Lord. He says, take no thought about that. Invest your life in the kingdom of God. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, these little details will be taken care of. But we invest our lives in the little details and we forget the main point of life, and that is to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, perhaps Nicodemus was stating how impossible it is for an old man to change his ways. We were talking about that at prayer meeting yesterday. Talking about this old fellow that has had light, has been the flashlight's been shined on him all of his life. But he, you know, covers his eyes. I don't want to be found. I'm not lost. You know? When he's old, he's set in his ways. It's like, we said, it's like a vine that gets so big and so fragile and brittle. You can't move it to another place without breaking it. It is as hard for a man to change his ways as it would be to enter his mother's womb and be born again. That's how hard it is. You can't do it, in other words. You can't change your ways, and then God looks down. You sure did a good job on changing your ways. Come up hither. It's not going to happen. How is it possible for a man whose whole nature at any moment is the sum of all the past to start fresh? You know, you can't do it. You can't untie all the things that drag you as you go through life. How can he undo or do away with the results which years have brought and which go to form himself? How can a man's self survive a new birth? Well, God does it. Now, Nicodemus's reasonings are but the reasonings that depend upon the flesh. But God says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's how we are to worship God. In spirit and in truth. How do you do that? You have to be born again. You've got to be in his family. You have to have spiritual discernment, because the things of God are indeed spiritually discerned. The new birth makes alive your spirit. You can now worship, since God is spirit and can only be worshiped in spirit. A man is blind to God's realm until he is born again, where he is given eyes to see the kingdom of God. So simple, isn't it? It's simple if you have spiritual discernment. Now in verse 5, 6, and 7, Jesus answered in the conversation, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. That's full. That's so full. Now, Jesus uses figurative language here. In other passages of John's Gospel, he explains what water is in a spiritual sense. He says here, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. In John 4:14, to the woman at the well, Christ said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, is he talking about the water that we drank this morning? No, he's using figurative language. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So we know that the water Christ talked about on this occasion was not literal water. Again in John 7:37, John tells us, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, Jesus is the Word. What are you going to drink? You're going to drink the Word, is what he's saying here. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So these passages lead us to believe that the use of the word water in John 3:5 is figurative and not literal. Some people say that that's the first birth, the water of the first birth. But we believe that it's spiritual water, the water of the Word of God. So he's using the word water as a figure of speech for the Word of God. God uses his word as his instrument in the act of regeneration. Other passages where the new birth is mentioned are always accompanied by the inclusion of the Word of God. Psalm 119:50, "For thy word hath quickened me." Again, in 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul says, "I have begotten you through the gospel." James 1:18, "Of his own will began us he with the word of truth." Peter declares in 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God." See the same thing, water, word, seed, which liveth and abideth forever. So the new birth comes by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. So God describes it as seed. And we talked about that, the seed that is planted, that the Holy Spirit gives birth to in the new creature. God describes it as seed because it produces after its own kind. God describes it as water because of its cleansing power. He calls his word his lamp because it illuminates. He calls it a hammer because it breaks up the hard heart. So born of water means born of the cleansing and purifying word of God. If the water of the word is the instrument that God uses to quicken or make alive the sinner, then the Holy Spirit is the one to produce the new birth. It's all of God. It's all of God. The seed is the Word of God. The seed produces in the Spirit a new creation in Christ Jesus. So, if the water of the Word is the instrument that God uses to quicken or make alive the sinner, then the Holy Spirit is the one to produce the new birth. He is the one to use the water of the Word to impart a new nature to one who before was dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he enhances, he adds to the previous word of ye must be born again by giving a description of what happens. Now, this is not a decree of God that can be negotiated. As we said, you can't go to God and say, let's make a deal. The world is that way, though, isn't it? Let's make a deal. How about if my good works outweigh my bad works? And God says, well, how are you going to measure those? Well, I'll measure them. Oh, you'll measure them. That's the standard. Well, that's the standard. You know, what's the motive behind this good work that you do? Is that motive behind that good work embellishment of your own state? Well, maybe then that shouldn't count as a good work. All kinds of difficulties come into that play, does it not? So this is not a decree of God that can be negotiated. It is a principle more sure than gravity. One of these days, gravity will release us, won't it? But this won't release mankind. More sure than gravity, surer than the position of the stars in heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And God sees to it that he is the preparer. He is the one who fits the person for his new dwelling place. What do? You yield. You yield to his word. You repent of your sins. You call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You're the lost. The flashlight shines on you. You yield to the light. You know, God wants all his sons and daughters to be conformed to Jesus Christ, and he uses the new birth to do that, for the new birth produces after its kind. Isn't it interesting that the children, now in some cases, the children of one of two parents, they don't look alike at all. But it is interesting, generally speaking, the children of the parents, you can look somewhere on their face and you can see their parents in their face. Maybe the eyes, maybe the chin, maybe the whole face is like their parent. But we produce after our own kind. The natural man is not fit for eternal life with the Father because he is devoid of spiritual life. Being dead in trespasses and sin, he is a spiritual corpse and therefore needs new life. That's the facts. He is a member of the old creation which has fallen and is under the curse of God. There is no hope for him in that creation. So Jesus makes it imperative to Nicodemus, who was a religious man, perhaps a preacher, a ruler of the Jews, that what he has, the condition of his heart, does not measure up to the standard that God has set. Now that's hard. That's hard news. The new birth, then, is not becoming religious. It is not a change of heart. It is not the removal of anything from the sinner or the changing of anything within the sinner. It is not the reformation or the education or the purification of the outward man, but it is the giving to the sinner something that he cannot give himself. It is the impartation of a new nature. It is the impartation to the sinner of God's nature, the nature of Jesus Christ. Now, it is a nature that the sinner has absolutely no capability of conjuring up for himself. That's a good word that happens in the world, conjuring. Meditating on what I can do to please God. The only way you can do to please God is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do that, he promises you that you will be born of the Spirit. You'll be born again. You'll have not only one birthday, but you'll have two birthdays. That second birthday is all important. The Spirit of God begets in us a spiritual nature, as we read in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, what becomes important in a person's life? Well, it depends upon what their nature is. If they have the old nature, the things of the world is important. Food and drink, what ye shall wear, that's important. But when you have the new nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Don't you love the promises of God? Don't you say every day, oh Lord, I'm looking forward to being with you. It may be today. And you read the precious promises where he says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a wonderful world we live in. And that world is God produced, that by these ye might be made the partakers of the divine nature. So you must be born again, Nicodemus. And then we'll get into where he says to him, marvel not that I say unto you. So you can kind of imagine what was taking place. Nicodemus was standing there with his mouth open. What? What are you saying? Now, Jesus said, marvel not. Don't be astounded. But he couldn't help it. He was astounded at such talk. Father, we thank you so much for this lesson today. We're so thankful that the word is clear. We're thankful, Father, that thy word is true and that we can preach it authoritatively. We don't weaken it, Father, by questioning it, but we take it and preach it authoritatively, for thy word is true. And we pray for these folks that have heard the word this morning. Perhaps there is people that are listening online. Oh, Lord, we pray that the light might shine on them, that they might receive Christ as their Savior. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.